desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word. I have written on the board the adversary's adversary. Your enemy is my enemy. Have you ever heard that expression? Your friend is my friend. I will say this morning, if there is someone who is opposed to my adversary, that's my friend. If there's someone that's opposed to the devil, that's someone that's on my side. I want to be on their side too, because I have a foe, the devil, the accuser, Satan, the adversary. We have someone that's opposing everything we do. He's opposing righteousness and godliness and holy living. He's doing everything that he can to destroy all that is good. He's wanting to destroy homes. He's wanting to destroy unity. He's wanting to destroy your personal faith in God. He's wanting to tear down your own belief system in the God and who He is. And we need to take a stand against the adversary. But I am thankful this morning that there is one who is standing up in our behalf. Now, we concluded 2 weeks ago the message on this series. We were in Revelation, and I would like to get back there, but I believe for the moment we're going to take a step back to the book of Zechariah in the second chapter. The book of Zechariah chapter 2, or rather chapter 3, verse 1. It said, He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now remember, just as brief review here, that Joshua represented the children of Israel, and they had, representing them, they'd come out of Babylon, and they were there to supposed to rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls. And Joshua is just a symbol here, as is Moses in some places, of the children of Israel, of the time of the law. And God was going to use the children of Israel to rebuild the temple. And Satan didn't want that to happen. He did not want worship, acceptable worship, to be restored to God. So Satan was standing up against the children of Israel, and Satan is the accuser. Satan is the adversary. It is the devil that is the accuser. One the same old Beelzebub. Remember? The God of the flies or the God of the dung. He's one there that was, he was representing that, and he stood in front of God bringing accusation against the children of Israel. Their garments are unclean. They're not worthy to rebuild the temple. They're not worthy to do that. Have you ever heard the devil tell you that? Who do you think you are? You're going to testify, you're going to pray, you're going to sing, who do you think you are? Recognize the enemy for what he is. And he was standing up bringing accusation. But it said he was standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan was standing at the right hand. And the Lord said unto Satan, now who is this angel of the Lord that was standing there? I have been really inspired in studying this subject. I've learned some things, and I know there may be some varying thoughts on it, but just if we can get a hold of a little something here. He was standing before the angel of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Who is this angel of the Lord that was standing to rebuke Satan? In this passage, and I'm gonna give you a few other scriptures, but I want us to understand whoever was standing there was an adversary, the adversary's adversary. He was standing before, Satan was standing there, and the angel of the Lord stood there rebuking him. I believe from what I understood and study in the Word of God here that the angel of the Lord here is Christ Himself. Christ Himself was standing. The angel, who is the archangel? And we'll look into Scripture. But the archangel, the Lord of hosts, is Christ Himself. The angels themselves are there to do God's bidding, the bidding of the Son of God. But Michael, the archangel, who is Lord of hosts, who is worthy to be bowed down to and worship, cannot just be a heavenly angel as we think about it. It must be God Himself. It must be Jesus. himself. And Jesus stood up, there was standing there, and Satan was bringing accusation against him. And he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." The Lord said unto him, "The Lord rebuke thee." Do you know this morning that when the enemy comes along to accuse you of things, Jesus Christ is standing up at the throne of God and he's saying to the devil, your adversary, saying, "The Lord rebuke thee." In other words, isn't it nice if you have a problem and someone comes along and says, "You just relax, let me fight your battle for you." There's been a few times I wish someone would have done that for me. Don't worry about it, I got it. I told someone recently, they were concerned, they said, if I do this, there might be some fallout. If I do this, then this person might be, and I said, listen, if that happens, all you have to do is pick up the phone and call me. Because I said, in other words, I'll fight your battle for you. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. You're doing the right thing. So if you do it and some people don't like it, I was giving them an assurance, just call me and I'll take care of it. Do you know that sometimes we can only do so much, but the Lord is standing up this morning, and it encourages me to know that when the enemy comes with accusation fighting you and me in every good thing, that Jesus has come along saying, I'm going to stand up for you. I'm going to take your part. Because when it comes to ourselves, you know, we believe and trust, the scripture teaches us to be humble. And so sometimes when there are things that you could stand up and say, listen here, let's get the facts right. This is what happened. Don't do this. You did that. And you're going to line someone out. Have you ever felt tempted to line someone out? And the scripture says, humble your heart. And that means you're misrepresented. It means you might be misunderstood. It might mean there might be some things that aren't right. But do you know what? You humble your heart. And we have a Savior who is standing up for you, and we are giving Him the ability to work for us against the enemy when we humble our hearts. But it's when we get in the way and we try to fight a spiritual battle carnally is when we get in trouble. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're what? Mighty, that's strong. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So know here we have Joshua, the children of Israel being accused, and the angel of the Lord stood in front of him, and the angel, the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Does it give you courage to know in your battles today, and you just feel the adversary, the pressure, to know that the Lord is standing up for you, saying, the Lord rebuke thee. That's what he's telling to Satan, and folks, greater is he that is in you. Greater than is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The devil is working strong. He's working, but the Lord is greater than the power of the enemy this morning. We have reason to be encouraged this morning with the battles of life, with the struggles we have. Every temptation, there's a way to escape. How? Because the adversary has an adversary. And that's Christ Himself that is not sitting down just seeing what the devil will do, but He's standing up in our behalf. You remember when Stephen was being stoned? Stephen was being stoned, and he lifted up his eyes, and who did he see? He saw Jesus, and Jesus was not sitting down. Jesus was standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Why was he standing? Because when someone is sitting down, they're relaxed, aren't they? But when someone is standing up, they're ready to do what needs to be done. And when Stephen looked up, he saw the adversary's adversary. He saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He saw the archangel. He saw him standing up in his behalf. I'll take it from here. I'll take it. The Lord is not yours. The battle is not yours, rather. The battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. Let him fight. Let him work. Because we are serving a God this morning that has made provision for us that we can have victory even in the fight that we're in this today. The angel of the Lord was the Messiah when Satan was contesting, the Lord rebuke thee. If you will turn with me over to Jude in the first chapter, very similar picture given here in Jude chapter 1. In the 9th verse, and I want again to preface my commentary on this passage. I've been confused at times, and I still don't fully understand this passage of Scripture. But I will say, as I studied this and began to get some light and understanding in the spiritual essence of this passage of Scripture. He said here, yet Michael, in verse 9, Michael the archangel. Now that's the head angel. Now Christ is more than an angel, but who was the greatest messenger the world has ever received? It was Christ himself, was it not? He brought the greatest message from heaven to earth. It was Christ. And we find in these other accounts, so we find Michael, which means, the word Michael means, who is like the Lord. Who is like the Lord? Are we going to call an angel that? Just a regular angelic being from heaven? Are we going to say that's Michael? Michael, who is like the Lord? Michael, the archangel, it said when contending with the devil. You see, now we have a picture of a battle going on between Michael and the devil. Very similar to what we read over in Zechariah. The adversary's adversary. There was a battle going on, and Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Does that sound familiar? You see, we start having some parallels here. There's a spiritual battle going on, and someone is battling the adversary. And we find now, instead it said it's Michael, it put a name to it, the archangel, and he said, "The Lord rebuke thee." What was he battling about here? In a very spiritual sense. We've wondered, was he talking about the physical body of Moses? Do you know where the physical body of Moses doesn't make that much difference this morning? But I'll tell you what made a difference is what happened to the children of Israel under the old law. In Moses, in other passages, when we talk about Moses, just like Joshua, he represented the dispensation of the Old Testament dispensation. He represented the Old Testament church. And we find the enemy bringing accusation against the children of Israel, and the Lord stood up against him and put a rebuke on him. You know the Lord's doing that for you this morning? He's doing that this morning. The body of Moses, we talk about, let me give you a little further symbolism. When we talk about the body of Christ, what are we talking about? Are you part of the body of Christ? Are we talking fleshly? No. We're talking spiritually, right? The body of Christ. So if the body of Christ is the church, what is the body of Moses? That's inspiring to me. The body of Christ is the New Testament church. But the body of Moses, there was a battle going on. Who's going to get them? Are they worthy to go into heaven? Are they worthy to gain what God has for them? And there was a battle going on here. And the Lord Jesus himself, the head over all the angels of heaven, the Son of God himself, stood up and put a rebuke against him and said, "The Lord rebuke thee." The body of Christ, the body of Moses, would represent those under the old law. You will also find that the word archangel in the scripture is never found in plurality. It's never found. It's singular. The archangel. There's only one archangel. There's not two of them. Some had said, well, there's Michael and there's Gabriel and there's... No, there's another study on angels. But there is only one archangel. There's one. It's singular. And we find that he was head over all the angelic host, as Satan is the head over all diabolical forces that we fight. Is he not? So do we call the devil an angel? Well, he is a messenger of evil. He's our adversary. But so Christ brought a message of goodness and righteousness and redemption and holiness. And he's standing and opposing all that is evil and wrong in our life. Which means that when we're in a battle, when we're in a struggle, to know, and we say, oh, the adversary's working hard. Remember, there's an adversary's adversary. And I almost hate to call it that, because he's not just counteracting the devil. He is greater than the devil. He has more power than the enemy. And it is only through Christ that we can overcome. Michael is spoken of as one of the chief angel. in the Old Testament as the angel that took care of the children of Israel. Okay? There's reference to Michael taking care of the children of Israel. And in Daniel chapter 12, I'm going to read to you. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it said, "At that time shall Michael stand up." We find Jesus standing up quite a bit. "Michael stood up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people." Who is the great prince that's standing up? The prince is the son of what? Son of a king. That's what a prince is. It's the son of a king. And in the Old Testament, we find Michael just as here in the book of Jude and in the book of Revelation that we're going to turn and read, we find a power working and operating under Michael, who is the archangel, who is the prince, who is the son of the king. And it said he stood up, the great prince which standeth for the people of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble even such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that same time and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now, if you will turn with me over to the book of Revelation in the 12th chapter. There was a war in heaven that was taking place. We first beheld in the first verse of 12th chapter of Revelation, there appeared a wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, a crown of 12 stars, the moon was under her feet. Remember what that woman represented? It represented the church. A woman is representative of the church, and here we find the church arrayed with glory and light. She gave rise on the moon, which was the old covenant, the old dispensation, the Old Testament. That's what gave rise to the new, but there's no light in and of itself. The moon is just a reflection of the light of the sun. So we see this beautiful woman that rose up, a crown of 12 stars. The church was built on Christ as the chief cornerstone and on the foundation that the apostles laid, the disciples laid. It's what the church was built on. Well, she gave birth to a child. What child did she give birth to? Some have said, well, this woman gave birth to Christ. No. No, the church gave birth to new Christians. The church gave birth to new converts. And during the time at the beginning of the church, during the time of the Roman rule, which was under the religious power of paganism, we find that when new people were converted to Christianity, the Romans, the pagan worshipers, were there to try to stamp them out. They were there to persecute them. They were martyred, but it just caused the church to spread. But this child that was born, were new converts, but it said there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, it drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for devour her child as soon as it was born. Understand that this is a picture, and we're not going to take time to get a lot into it, but the dragon, again, is representative of paganism. And the primary agency that the devil was using at the time of the birth of Christ was Rome, was the political system. It was a dominant world power was found in Rome, and they were pagans. They were idolaters. They didn't believe in the true God. And the symbolism of this dragon is representative, to go back to the primer of Revelation, which is the book of Daniel. And we read about what Rome represented. And you can take the same symbolism and come over to the 12th chapter of Revelation, and it's very clear that this was representative of Rome, which paganism was a primary religious power, dominant power at that time. And when new converts were born into the church, they tried to stamp them out. They tried to stamp out Christianity. But it said here in verse 7, there was a war in heaven. Now, where is this war taking place? Now, remember, heaven, some would say, yes, the devil was an angel up in heaven, and he fell down to earth, and hence all the chaos. I don't know about some things, but I know this, that that's not the heaven this is talking about. There are three types of heavens, and this is just ought to be a review for the congregation. Three types of heaven. There are the celestial heavens. You look out in, or the aerial heavens. You look out in the stars, those are the aerial heavens. The celestial heavens are where God is. Where God abides himself, we say God is in heaven. And the third heaven is the ecclesiastical heavens. That's the spiritual heaven, so to speak. So when there was a war taking place in heaven, it was not in the aerial heavens, it was not in the celestial heavens, but it was a battle between good and evil that was taking place spiritually in a place that was high and lifted up. And so Michael, it says, there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels. Who's this Michael now? It said they were his angels. Who's the King of Kings? Who's the Lord of Hosts? It's Christ himself is the Lord of Hosts. And his angels fought against the dragon fought and his angels. You just see a picture of a great warrior with his soldiers, with his angels there, fighting against demonic forces, fighting against the enemy. It was the war that was taking place between Christianity and paganism. But Michael was the one that was leading the band. That was Christ. And it said, and he prevailed not. The dragon prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. Now who is that dragon? It says that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The power of paganism was broken through Christianity. It was broken, and that's why we talked a little bit last week, but it transitioned from a world being pagan to a world of people who profess the name of Christ. They acknowledge God, and yet they begin to twist and pervert the truth, and what developed was the Roman Catholic Church. It's what came out of that same dragonish power, gave its power to the beast, which is the Roman Catholic Church. But the power of paganism was cast down to the earth. In other words, it was in the ecclesiastical heavens, it was reigning. All over the world, dominant was not people that believed in God, it was people that believed in idolatry. But when Christ came, he came and he broke the power of paganism. It wasn't that there weren't still pagans, but as a dominant, predominant world religion, it was broken through the power of Christ. This was Michael. I hope you get something out of this morning. There is the power of the enemy is not going unchecked. Now I may get back here, but this says that the Satan was cast out onto the earth. What was that talking about? You remember over in the Luke in the 10th chapter where Jesus sent his disciples out to take the good news to the world and the disciples came back rejoicing. Why were they rejoicing? And they said, oh, even the devils are what? Are subject unto us. In other words, the devils were in heaven ecclesiastically. People were under the influence and power of the enemy and we were able to go and cast them out. We were able to go in the name of Jesus, and the power of Satan was broken, and they were rejoicing. And Jesus made a statement. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. It wasn't talking about falling out of the celestial heavens. It was in direct reference to what the disciples had just said. Take the context. We can cast out devils. And Jesus said, yes, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. The devil has been had control too long in people's lives. But now through the message of the gospel, there is salvation and there's power over the devil. There's power over the enemy and he fell down from his high and exalted place. Has not Satan fallen in your life this morning? Can you know that the power of Satan can be broken through the power of Jesus Christ today? We look on our loved ones we're praying for, say, how can they ever change? It's because Michael, the archangel, the Son of God, the Lord of hosts, the Prince of Kings, is an adversary to the adversary. And he has greater power and greater strength. And when we pray, we ought to be encouraged that we're calling on the name of Jesus. We're not here in our own righteousness. We're not here because of our common history. We're not here because I was born into a family that was in the church of God. Remember last Sunday or two Sundays ago, I told you there's no such thing as third generation church of God people. No such thing. You may come to a building that has that name on it, but there are only first generation church of God people. People that have repented of their sins and had Satan cast down from their ecclesiastical heaven where Christ is reigning this morning. Thank God. There's power in the name of Jesus. We sing that song, Satan has lost the battle. When we pray, saints, we have authority. We have authority over the enemy. And so here we find that that power of paganism, it was broken. The dragon was not Satan himself. It was the agency that he was working through. It was pagan Rome. That agency was cast down to the earth. In other words, it was not reigning supreme any longer because people were believing and accepting that there is one God. I want to touch briefly to give you a little more foundation in 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, thinking about Christ as the archangel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It said, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven." Now let's stop there. Who is going to descend from heaven? And who is the Lord? It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? The Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the what? With the voice of the archangel. The one that's over all the host of heaven. He is going to come back. And who is He? It's the Lord. It's Jesus. It's Michael, the one that is standing up when the enemy comes and tries to accuse us to God and says, they're not worthy. Jesus, the Lord of hosts, is standing before God and telling Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Well, He's going to come back with a shout. And it said, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And understand then, in correlation with that, let's read over in the 5th chapter of John. In the 5th chapter of John, in the 28th verse, He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice." When He comes back, all of them are going to hear His voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. They're not going to hear the voice of just a celestial angel. They're going to hear the voice of Christ Himself. So He's going to come back with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Lord, help us. You all go to seminars and sit for 2 hours. Don't you? Sometimes you're getting nervous. All right. I'm going to sit down. We'll pick it up. We have a God this morning that sent His Son that the power of the adversary could be broken. He's the archangel. It's Michael. And the power of paganism was broken. And we'll read later about what happened to that power and where that power is today. But He cast him out for a time. That power of paganism was bound up for a time, and then it was released. But in every situation that we face in life this morning, you are not alone. You are not alone. You're not by yourself. You do not have to face the difficulties of life by yourself. But the angel of the Lord, Christ Himself, is standing up for us, putting a rebuke against the enemy. And because of that power, we are able to go out not living under the influence of the adversary, but we are able to go out and live righteously, godly lives in this present evil world because of the power of Jesus Christ. And I will say again, I am so thankful this morning that I too have seen Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Thank God for that. Amen.